Ay bobo, ay bobo, ay bobo. Welcome to the Agua Cerrito podcast show, where we honor the divine, spark personal liberation, and deconstruct Haitian voodoo. I'm your host, Knowledge, also known as Konef Kife. Every episode is a digital offering to the sacred spirits, ancestors, and vibrant culture of Haitian voodoo. Through storytelling, interviews, and reflections, we will explore its roots, its power, and its impact. Voodoo is more than spirituality. It is life, legacy, and liberation. Welcome to another episode of the Agua Cerrito podcast show. I'm your host, Professor Knowledge, Professor Konef Kife. Today, we are going to explore, honor, and love on the dignified and powerful laws, Metagasu and Gun Silibo. As always, we begin our conversation about the divine by centering ourselves with breath and prayer. So we're going to start with our breath. Let's breathe together three times. Inhale patience and exhale frustration. Inhale ease and exhale struggle. Inhale stillness and exhale tension. Allow your breath to align with your heartbeat. Greetings to Almighty God. Thank you for the breath of life. Greetings to all of the divine saints and angels in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Greetings to Metagasu and Gonsilibo. We invite you both to this space and ask that you pave the way for knowledge and understanding of your energy in this episode. Greetings to the ancestral spirits of all four elements of earth, water, fire, and air in the east, the west, the north, and south, both known and unknown. Greetings to the ancestral spirits of our mothers, our fathers, our grandparents, and our great-grandparents and beyond, both near and far. Greetings to you, our esteemed listeners. Thank you for the thread that connects us as brothers and sisters on this earthly realm. Thank you for the opportunity to be in community with each and every one of you. We ask to enlighten and empower our listeners with love, wisdom, and knowledge. We ask to liberate our hearts and minds in order to connect with the divine. We ask that whatever is needed from this episode be met. We ask that whatever guidance needs to be shared is shared and understood in this episode. We ask that whatever lessons need to be learned, be learned. Aibobo, agoago, bo, rababa, asao, alaso, awoshenago, javodo, afutai, bilolo, swakongo, kwa, sembo. Welcome back to another episode of the Agua Cerrito podcast show. If you've been on the journey with us, thank you so much for tuning in. I truly appreciate you being part of our digital laku. And if you're new to the show, welcome and a big aibobo to you. I'm your host, Professor Knowledge, Professor Konekife, and this show is all about one thing: deconstructing, demystifying, and decolonizing Haitian Vodou. Each week, I share information with the goal of educating, empowering, and enlightening our listeners on the beautiful sacred religious practices of Haitian Vodou. Before we dive into today's episode, I'd love for you to take a moment and hit that follow subscribe button so you never miss an update. And if you're enjoying what you hear, leaving us a quick rating or review is one of the best ways to support the show. And of course, feel free to share this episode with a friend you think would enjoy it as well. Since we have listeners in our digital laku all across the world, every week I shout out a city where our listeners are located. This week, I want to send a big aibobo, a big shout out to all of our listeners in Slidell, Louisiana. So Slidell, Louisiana, aibobo, aibobo, aibobo to you. Today's episode will be informed by the scholarly works of Benjamin Habawaith, Alfred Matreau, Maya Duren, and Mombo Shitbatan. So we're going to begin today's conversation with Metagasu. And unlike some of the other episodes, listeners, I actually want to begin the conversation about Agasu by sharing his origin story with you, because it's a powerful testament in and of itself. According to tradition, Metagasu was born from a union between a human mother, the princess Alegbonon of Tado, and a father who was not entirely human. And there are many expressions that people suggest in terms of his father's origin. In some stories, his father is a leopard. In other stories, his father is a panther. And in other stories, his father is a spirit, is a divine being. And this unusual parent roots made him really considered both a bridge and a disruption. He was kind of a child who belonged in two worlds that neither worlds fully accepted his specific existence. And so listeners, if you are an individual that you have, let's say, a biracial, binational identity, you may have experienced this where you belong to two different worlds and you don't feel either world fully accepts who you are. And to add to that complicated origin, Agassu's father did not raise him. And that absence shaped Agassu's journey. His father's absence in his life shaped his destiny. So rather than inheriting the kingship directly from his father, as his lineage would suggest, Agassu became a bridge through his mother's line. So remember, his mother was of royalty as well. And Agassu had to forge his own path through his mother's lineage and through the divine gifts that he carried within himself. And some of the divine gifts that he carried were considered kind of sacred objects, such as like leopard skin, a spear, and sometimes specific types of money or coins. And those objects that he carried within himself were said to essentially bring divine order, divine leadership, and divine new ritual practices to his people. So even with this absence, he carried a tremendous divine gift and a tremendous divine purpose to his life. And this absence, I'm going to call it a disconnection. This disconnection that Agassu had with his father becomes a point of strength in his journey. And it also kind of shared with us listeners that it wasn't the end of his story. It ended up actually being what triggered his overall path. I think it's also important to understand that even though Agassu doesn't necessarily manifest in every lineage in Haitian Vodou across Haiti and across the world, He is sometimes known because of that origin story. He is sometimes known to actually surface in the lives of individuals who are either related to him through his royal lineage or individuals who have experienced severe disconnections or fractures within their own paternal family. And so to understand Agassu's origin story is to also understand his many expressions and what he represents within Haitian Vodou. Agassu is considered what we would call a Tohosu. We talked about Tohosu before. He is considered a deified ancestor of royal lineage. And just to kind of break it down one more time, if we think about what a Tohosu is, what a deified ancestor is specifically, in the book Haitian Vodou, Mambo Shitatan talks about this definition. She writes, in the Agada tradition, a Tohosu is the spirit of a royal ancestor who is unusual in some way. Either a Tohosu dies at birth, is stillborn, or dies while still in childhood due to a genetic defect, or is the child of an Alada or Diomain king by an animal or other non-human spirit. So you can see, based on Mambo Shitatan's definition of a Tohosu, Agassu is a representation of that unique origin story. And Mumbushita Tun, she actually goes on further to say specifically about Agasu. She says that he is actually a special kind of Tohosu. He's not just a Tohosu that has this unique story. He is the son of a Daioman king by a forest spirit, or the spirit of a panther or a leopard. So the fact that even in his unique origin story, Agasu has royal lineage, royal bloodlines, both on his mother's side as well as on his father's side. Aibobo. So what is a deified ancestor? And listeners, later in the season, we are going to do a separate episode loving on the ancestors. But specifically, when we think about a deified ancestors, is important to understand that in Haitian Vodou, ancestors are the root of everything. So when someone passes away, you know, their spirit essentially transitions into what we call the astral realm. And at the astral realm level, this individual spirit remains present and connected to living communities. And when we think about it from a deified ancestor perspective, a deified ancestor is someone who, after death, becomes more than just a family ancestor. They essentially become an elevated loa. And an individual that goes from being an ancestor to a deified ancestor, that happens when their life, their deeds, or their specific spiritual force is so strong that the community as a whole recognizes them. There's a collective recognition of that person's ability to guide, protect, and intervene in human affairs. They move from being simply just someone's grandmother or grandfather or grandparent that has passed away and gone into the astral realm. They become a spirit with wider significance. So if we go back to Agasu, Agasu is a Tohosu. Agasu is a deified ancestor. Agasu is depicted is as half human, half cat in this instance. And Agasu, with all of those expressions of his identity, is considered the first human. This is the first human being who can be traced back to see how he ascended to the status of a loa. So in other words, Agasu is not only the first human who can be traced back, Agasu represents the first deified ancestor in the Haitian Vodou cosmology. So if we go back to his origin story and we think about his father's absence in his life, Agasu turned that absence into a force to be reckoned with his life. Agasu turned that disconnection with his father into continuity of an entire race of individuals, of people. Agasu turned that disconnection with his father into strength. Agasu turned that disconnection with his father into power. Today, in addition to Agasu having this kind of first deified ancestor superlative title, Agasu became the founding ancestor of Vodun, that's Vodou with an N, Vodun lineages in Daiome, or what we call today Benin. And he is essentially associated with kingship. Agasu is associated with lineage. Agasu represents the continuity of the royal bloodline. As Benjamin Habelwaith points out in his book, Vodou Songs, Agasu is the founder of the royal dynasty of the town Alada, Benin, and remains the panther ancestor of the royal families of Alada, Abome, and Porto-Novo, venerated by the Ajofon people of Benin. Agasu is sometimes associated with a divine leopard and regarded as a culture bringer who protects dynasties and traditions. And interestingly enough, when Agasu came over into what we call the New World, into colonial Haiti, he actually brought his purpose even further. He took it to an entirely new level, because in Haiti, Agasu is known as the loi who carried the entire tradition of Vodun across the Middle Passage during slavery, ensuring that the practices would survive in the New World. So think about it. The immense oppression, the immense dehumanization, the immense torture, the immense religious suppression that many Haitian ancestors experienced, it is credited to Agasu that those sacred traditions still exist today, in spite of the colonizers' attempt to completely erase this religious practice. That is a significant, significant contribution to an entire race, and honestly to the entire world, when you think about what Vodou specifically represents. As Maya Duran says in her book, Divine Horseman, Maya Duran calls him, and she says in Haiti, Agasu is an ancestral Wungan that is also one of Metagwe's lieutenants. And a Wungan is essentially a priest. So Agasu in Haiti, because of his ability to carry the sacred traditions across the Middle Passage, he is revered as an ancestral Wunga. And as we've mentioned, he is the first deified ancestor that is known to humanity when it comes to the Vodun lineage. According to other African origin stories from Benin, Agasu is depicted as the quote-unquote as the chosen one sent to Haiti by the primordial loi Aidawedo. So Agasu was chosen by her to bring and essentially preserve the sacred traditions of Vodou to her African children, helping ease their pain, helping them through the suffering from slavery. And as part of this story, as Agasu transitioned and traveled to Haiti through the Middle Passage, he was given a crab for the journey. He was essentially gifted a crab as a divine gift to help him on this specific mission that he had, a very critical mission, I may add. And according to the author Benjamin Hathaway, that large crab that he was given is actually called a Bambara Tabia, and in Agasu's veve actually resembles crab claws. So this idea of Agasu being associated to crab and that being part of his journey, we see that interwoven when different lineages, different individuals, different scholars talk about Agasu. And in the book, Vodou in Haiti, author Metro says that Agasu is associated with the water deities and sometimes takes the form of a crab. And a crab is one of the mythical creatures who gave assistance to the ancestors. So you can see this cycle, you can see this cyclical kind of relationship between crabs, between ancestors, and Agasu. While Agasu is regarded as a loi in the Diomean rite of the Gara Nation, He also sometimes is seen with fire expression. So he can be viewed as a Rara Loa, but in some expressions, he is also a Petul Loa. So just to make it abundantly clear, listeners, without the Loa Agasu, Haitian Vodou in its current form and its ties back to Africa, back to Benin, back to the Anglophone people of Benin, back to Alada, Abomey, Porto-Novo in Benin. Without Agasu, Haitian Vodou as we know it would cease to exist, making him one of the most important ancestral spirits, not only in Vodou, but Vodoun traditions. Agasu represents lineage. He represents divine order. He represents identity. And he represents the transmission of power across lineages, across regions. Bo, bo, bo. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and continue the conversation about the amazing Agasu. Hope you're enjoying today's episode. Have a question, comment, or feedback? Feel free to send us an email at aguacedito@gmail.com. That's aguacedito@gmail.com. You can also visit us on the web at www.aguacedito.com for more information about past episodes, show notes, and more.
Hi, Bobo!
Hi, Bobo!
Agasu do lele, lele, wanko! Agasu do lele, lele, wanko, eh! Agasu do lele, lele, wanko! Agasu do lele, lele, wanko, eh! Savi bon Dieu avec la foi! Savi le CEO avec la foi! Côté mystère, maio, lele, wanko!
Avec la foi.
When we look at Agassu from a theological comparative lens of other deities across world religions, we see that Agassu's story echoes across the world. There are many traditions that recognize different types of deities, different divine beings who combine ancestry, who combine kingship, who combine this idea around divine lineage, as well as animal symbolism as part of their energetic expression. And I'll give you a couple of examples. So I want to continue the thread and let's start with just keeping it within Africa. So let's start with ancient Egypt. Within Egypt, we have Horus, and Horus is considered a falcon-headed god that symbolizes kingship and dynastic continuity. And similar to Agassu, he was the son of a union. He was the son of a disruptive union after Osiris's death, and had to fight to establish his rightful role. And so while his animal symbolism is the falcon, it parallels Agassu's story of leopard lineage, parallels Agassu's story of having a unique birth, you know, a sense of a unique union in order for him to have been created. And Horus's story also parallels Agassu's story, marking divine authority through nature in and of itself. I want to pivot and let's, if we go to the Yoruba traditions, the Ifa traditions, we can see Shango. So while many individuals, particularly in Haiti, when we the surface see the Orisha Shango, most people compare Shango to Ogu, right? Because of his association with the fire element. However, Shango in the Yoruba tradition can also be similar and have a similar energetic signature to Agassu, because Shango also represents kingship. So while yes, Shango is the Orisha of thunder and fire, because of his representation of kingship, he is considered also a deified ancestor. And Shango became an ancestral spirit in the Yoruba tradition, embodying royal power, justice, and charisma. So Shango, like Agassu, links community continuity with ancestral authority. If we pivot again and we look at the Japanese Shinto, the sun goddess Amaterasu embodies divine ancestry and the continuity of an imperial lineage. If we switch gears again and we look at the Greeks, Apollo represents divine order, prophecy, and lineage. And there's some, if we think about Zeus, now Zeus may also, similar to Shango, there may be aspects of Zeus that is associated to the Ogu energetic signature, but Zeus embodies kingship and authority over gods and humans. So even though both Apollo and Zeus do not have kind of that animal imagery like some of the other comparable deities, like Agassu, they hold this balance between heavenly authority and human destiny. And if we pivot again, if we look at some of the indigenous American, if we look at some of those like Native American traditions, there are ancestors that are linked to animals. So if you think about in certain traditions, the coyote, the raven, the jaguar, these types of animals are sometimes seen as mediators between the earthly realm and the spiritual realm, particularly in indigenous America, which is similar to Agassu's leopard, or as some people may say, his panther connection. So if we take a step back, I want to come back to the beginning of the conversation that we started about Agassu, when I shared his origin story and helping you understand the impact of his energy. And I wanna take a moment to just honor the space for individuals out there that may have parallels in their own lives. So similar to Agasu, maybe you grew up without your father. Maybe you grew up without your father being there, let's say in a way that you needed him to be in your life. And like Agasu, maybe you were the one in your family that was your father's quote unquote other child and may have been shunned by the paternal side of your family. Maybe some of our listeners, you may be an individual who grew up never even knowing who the identity of your father was. And I could relate to that specific story in a sense that I grew up without my father in the way that I needed in my life. And so I know firsthand that that absence can sometimes feel like an open wound. It's a question that may kind of just sit in the back of your head that never really gets answered. Or even if it does get answered, the answer never really hits, right? You're never really quite satisfied as to why that has been the case of your story. And if this is you, if any of those instances, or maybe there may be other instances, right? Other iterations of that theme of not being connected with your father. If this is you, listeners, I invite you to lean into the story of Agasu. Agasu was born with a father who was absent, right? He was born with a father where the disconnection was broken. And instead of letting his father's emptiness or that void define his life, Agasu ended up turning that into a specific strength. And with that strength, he became the bridge between worlds. Agasu became the founder of lineages. Agasu became a deified ancestor who carried traditions from one continent to the next. Because again, there would be no Haitian Vodou without Agasu. So Agasu's story shows us something really, really powerful to connect and tether into. And it's this idea that your destiny is not limited by what you didn't receive, Aibobo. Sometimes we feel that in our lives, listeners, because of something we feel that is missing, or something that we can't change, or something that it's just never really quite lived up to the expectation that for whatever reason that we intended or would like to have, or this yearning that we seek to fulfill in our lives. And I think Agasu shows that sometimes that absence, sometimes that type of void becomes the soil where your self-resilience can grow. Sometimes that pain can actually shape and chisel vision in your life. Sometimes it can actually create a new sense of clarity, and it can push you to create a whole new path, not only for yourself, but for others, you know, who come after you in whatever instance, in whatever category that may be. So if you ever felt that sense of something vital missing in your life, I want you from this point on, listeners, to just remember Agasu. Lean into Agasu's energy, because Agasu is proof that absence doesn't have to mean emptiness. It can be the spark that turns pain into power, that turns loss into legacy. I want to give a big shout out. I want to give a big shout out, Chapo Ba. We want to honor and love on today. Met Agasu. Wa Agasu. Agasu Alada. Agasu Alada Jeme. Agasu Jene. Agasu Bod Rivage. Agasu Kelele. Agasu Mawo Mawode. Agasu mi kule, agasu seyeme, agasu welo, agasu gweliye, agasu miwa, agasu domiwa, agasu yedomiwa, wunga agasu dobo muiwa, agasu medese, agasu yeme. I want to salute all the agasus I know. I want to salute and honor all the agasus I don't know. I want to salute all the agasus I said, all the agasus I didn't say. Bo, bo, bo. With that, we're going to take another break. We're going to come back and talk about Glenn Silibo.
Aïe, bo, 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 do.
Aïe, bo, bo.
Aïe, bo, 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 do.
Aïe, bo, bo.
A nous marcher, oh.
Dive into the story of Glenn Silibo herself. I want to pause and honor the role of the grandmother laws in Vodou. Aibobo to all the grandmother laws. This season we're going to dedicate a full episode to what we call the guns, right? The guns of Haitian Vodou. I'm really looking forward to that specific episode because the guns of Haitian Vodou are powerful grandmother spirits who embody wisdom, endurance, and love. And, you know, I use the word gun, right? So gun means grandmother. And when we think of a grandmother, think of the image you have. It's someone that's elderly, wise, and steady. And that individual has wisdom and they are loving. That's essentially the embodying energy of grandmothers. And so with that context, I'm really excited. I am tremendously, tremendously honored today to talk about Glenn Silibo Bavu. Glenn Silibo is the first grandmother law we're exploring today, but she's certainly not the last. And fun fact, Gran Sili Bo is actually considered the grandmother of all the grandmother laws. That's kind of what she's considered in many, many lineages. So who is Gran Sili Bo? You don't hear a lot about Gran Sili Bo in what I would call kind of mainstream voodoo cosmology. Nonetheless, she plays a powerful, powerful role. Gran Sili Bo is considered an aquatic spirit, essentially living in the waters. She is the spirit of the wells. She's the spirit of the springs. She's the spirit of what we would call like healing baths, spiritual baths that cleanse and renew. Whenever you find a well, think of life, think of continuity, think of the blessings that ripple in that well across generations. That's essentially the power that Gran Sili Bo represents. In many lineages in Haiti, she's seen as the protector of the human body. And when we say the protector of the human body, this is thinking of it, like think of her as a grandmother energy that not only guards adults, but guards children's bodies from any type of harm. And when we think about the protector of the human body, we're saying like protection from accidents, protection from, let's say, being stabbed, protection from any sort of violence, protection from any, let's say, unseen, maleficent, energetic attacks. That is essentially her specialty, is being the protector of the physical, what we sometimes say, kokadav, right? The physical body, the specific earthly vessel that we all have that helps house our specific spirit. Gran Sili Bo is seen as the protector of this human body, and she is a healer. And I think of her again as like a grandmother healing energy that, you know, really protects and looks after her spiritual children. What's interesting is that she is often associated with the Radarit because of her connection with Metagasu. She's also sometimes connected with Papa Loco because of the healing aspects that she brings. However, Gran Sili Bo is actually an anomaly in the Vodou pantheon because she's not really tethered to any particular rite or nation. She's sort of agnostic as the grandmother of all grandmothers. And in many lineages, people consider her energetic expression to transcend across the hierarchy of the entire Vodou pantheon. While it's rare that we see Gran Sili Bo, you know, kind of manifest on an earthly realm, she does come down, but it is rare that, you know, people see her again in what I call, considered kind of the mainstream Haitian Vodou. She is known, however, to appear when her children need her, or if any of her children is in some sort of situation where there poses a danger or threat to her children's physical body. That is when you typically see Gran Sili Bo manifest. So if listeners, you know, again, typically, again, people call on Gran Sili Bo in Vodou ceremonies, but she rarely appears. But if she does appear, whether it's in ceremony or in day-to-day life, it is because one of her children is potentially in danger, and specifically in their physical body in some shape or form is in danger. She will show up. Gran Sili Bo is presence in and of itself. Gran Sili Bo, while she is ancient and she was what I would consider a primordial being, she is watchful. She's healing. She is loving energy. So if we go back to this idea that she is considered as an expression of the wells, of the springs, you know, with that, she is considered a healer and has kind of that spiritual force in spiritual baths. And particularly when it comes to sacred ceremonies, let's say like a lavetet or a kanzo, which we'll talk about in the future. But she, and this is why individuals not only sometimes consider her connected to Agasu, but because of the role she sometimes plays as a healer in spiritual baths, she is sometimes associated with Papa Loco. Consilibo is the life that flows underneath the earth, right? So she's this, like, think of her as the force, right? That's kind of continuing to guide her children. And she focuses on reviving, let's say, forgotten rituals, forgotten secrets. You know, she, but think of her as like again, being back to springs and wells, like she is kind of this aquatic force that's helping bring forth and helping people remember the timeless wisdom of their ancestors. So it's really interesting that because of her mystique, her alluring energy, you know, individuals can't really fully grasp her mystery at times. And, you know, what I've shared, listeners, this is kind of what we know. I'm sure there's much, much more about Gunsilibo than we know or we are presently aware of. But I couldn't do an episode. I couldn't do an episode, one, talking about Metagasu without talking about Gunsilibo. But also, we couldn't be talking about loving on the laws without taking a moment to love on Gunsilibo. So I want to give a big shout out, a big aibo bo to Gunsilibo Bavu, to Gunsilibo Bavu Kachamensu, to Gunsilibo Bavu Kachamensu Loa Santaye Gelefre, aibo bo, aibo bo, aibo bo. And when we think and talk about Gunsilibo, you know, it goes back to her being a grandmother spirit. And I want to take a moment, similar to Metagasu, I want to take a moment and talk about in other world religions across the world, what are some comparable deities to the energetic signature of Gunsilibo? So if we think about within the Yoruba tradition, we see Yemaya, or sometimes called Yemoja. So while many people, again, on the surface think of Yemaya being connected to Lasiren, because of her expression in terms of being the great mother of waters, the source of healing and fertility, she can also have an association. I'm going to call it kind of like a concentric circle relationship to Gunsilibo. And we also have, you know, we think about Nana Buluku, one of the eldest grandmother deities, seen as the mother of creation itself, also has a energetic connection to Gunsilibo. If we take a pivot and we go to Greece, there's Gaia. So people hear of Gaia being kind of considered like Mother Earth, so to speak. So Mother Earth or Gaia, in this sense, can also represent a comparable energetic signature to Gunsilibo. Also in Greece, there's what's called Rhea. Rhea is considered the mother of the gods. And both of them, both Gaia and Rhea, kind of, again, embody that grandmother spirit. If we switch gears and we look at the Norse tradition, we have the earth goddess Djörru and the Frigg. So the Frigg is considered a wise mother. And both the earth goddess Djörru and the mother Frigg carry this role of protection, carries a role of fertility, carries a role of foresight. If we pivot again and we look at some of the Asian traditions, we see Shakti. It's pretty much the energy of creation, and also Kanwin. So Kanyin is the Bodhavasta of compassion. That's considered sometimes a loving maternal figure who heals and comforts, similar to Gunsilibo. If we take it to the Americas, there's the spider grandmother or the corn mother. And both of these energetic signatures are considered teachers, they're considered guides, and they are considered caretakers of essentially the earth. And if we take another pivot, we look at some of the Mesoamerican traditions within the Aztecs. That's what's called the Cotlicu, right? So Cotlicu is the earth mother who holds life and death together. And then we have the Mayans. The Mayans honored Xistel. And so Xistel is the goddess of moon, childbirth, and water. So you can see across the world, there are a number of energetic signatures that essentially represents this idea of water, of earth, of grandmother, you know, grand maternal spirit as an individual that are their keepers of tradition, their wisdom keepers, their protectors of children and communities. And so all of these different kind of spirits across these different religions give a similar comparative nod to Glenn Sleebool's energetic signature. So to really sum up our conversation today, I want to just say to our dearest Meg Agasu, to our dearest Glenn Sleebool, we love you and honor you both today. We thank you both for all that you do to keep our Vodou traditions alive, to keep your children physically alive, despite the many efforts to persecute and oppress your children. We thank you, Meta Agasu. We thank you, Glenn Sleebool, for your strength, for your resilience, for reminding us that we are each more powerful than our life's journey, our life's hardships, our life's struggles. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your wisdom and your protection in our past lives, in our current lives, and in our future lives. Aye bobo, aye bobo, aye bobo, bo, bo, bo. That's it for today's episode. Thank you so much for spending time with us. Make sure to follow or subscribe so you never miss an update. Have a question, thoughts, or comments about today's episode? Email us at aguacerito@gmail.com. Don't forget to share this episode with the first person that comes to mind who might need to hear this message as well. Join us next time. Actually, next time, listeners, we're going to take what I'm going to call a mid-season break. And we're going to include in our next episode is going to actually be a bonus episode that I'm titling Why You Might Not Be Connecting With Your Laws. I felt intuitively called to kind of insert this bonus episode into this particular season. So you definitely don't want to miss our conversation next week on why you might not be connecting with your laws. Until then, keep learning, growing, and pushing forward on your journey. As always, we will close out in prayer. Thank you, Almighty Creator, for the source of all life and breath. Thank you to all of the divine saints, spirits, and protectors who have walked with us in this sacred gathering. Thank you to the ancestral spirits in the east, the west, the north, and the south. May your presence continue to guide us as we move forward. Thank you to the spirits of earth, water, fire, and air, both known and unknown, who sustain and balance us in every moment. Thank you to the ancestors of our mothers, our fathers, our grandparents, and our great-grandparents whose wisdom and sacrifices have paved the way for our existence. Thank you to all of our ancestors, both near and far. We appreciate your love, your strength, and your eternal guidance. We give gratitude for the unity we have shared and for the wisdom we have revealed in this moment. We release ourselves into the world with your blessings, asking for your continued protection and guidance as we walk our paths. We honor the thread that connects us all as children of this earthly realm and as spiritual beings beyond it. May the light of wisdom, the power of courage, and the bond of love remain with us as we part ways. May our hearts remain open, our minds remain clear, and our spirits remain strong to continue learning, growing, and thriving together. We affirm that all that is needed has been received, all that is to be learned will unfold, and all that is to be shared will be our fruit in time. Aibo bo, ago ago, bo, rababa, asao, alaso, awoshenago, javoda, afutai, bilolo, swakongo, kwa, sen, bo. Thank you for tuning into the Agua Cerrito podcast show. For joining us on the Agua Cerrito podcast show. Together we honor our ancestors, embrace the beauty of Vodou, and step boldly toward liberation. If this episode resonated with you, don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. It helps us amplify the spirit of Haitian Vodou even further. Join us next week as we continue this journey to connect, inspire, and uplift. Until then, walk boldly with your spirits, and remember, the Agua Cerrito Show is not just a podcast. It is a vibration, a celebration, a path to freedom.